Welcome to 2SER, Anthony.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Thank you for joining us on 2SER today. I just mentioned if it's on the shelves already, but is it actually out yet?
Oh, I think so, yeah. It was supposed to be out by the 4th of September, but I haven't actually looked in a bookshop yet.
Well, I'm sure it's out there. Now, Ken Unsworth, he's been around, like we said, six decades, and he's done a huge gamut of work over those decades. What is it about Ken's art that really drew you to writing a book about him?
Well, I first actually commissioned him to do a public sculpture back in 1979, and, I actually met him in 78, and I've known him all that time, and I've seen him go through so many different experiments with different kinds of work. He keeps going. He doesn't just do one thing and then move on and do another thing. He keeps, like, painting, drawing, performance work, sculpture, installation, kinetic work, all those things, all going all the time throughout his life. And that in itself is quite inspiring because, you know, it's an enormous amount of energy. He's 87 now.
Yeah.
And he's never stopped to have anything like a book done before, because he was just too busy in the studio and didn't want to be bothered. But then when he realized, you know, oh, God, I'm 87, Tony, you better write a book for me.
And was he really happy for you to write it? Because obviously it sounds like you're friends for quite a long time, and sounds like you were the perfect person to do it.
Well, he said he didn't think anybody else could just pick up and do it. The trouble is, because he's never had a book done before, not even, you know, I mean, I did a little catalogue in 97, but he wouldn't let me, you know, do anything too clever or even do a sort of CV properly. So there's nowhere to go for information. I had to work it all through with him. And but because I'd been, you know, on and off with him since 78, I had a pretty good idea of what everything was about.
Yeah.
So it was relatively easy for me to do it. Most people, I have to say, even, you know, art writers and art historians and curators have no idea about all the different things he's done. I did a lecture in Katoomba when he had a commission there in the scenic world, and I had people come up from Sydney, people who really ought to have known better, who said, I had no idea he did those performances in 75. I had no idea he did land art in 73 in Mildura. I thought, oh, well, there you are. I better get this book going.
Well, it's a long career for you to have to cover, you know, trying to cover all of that in the book, but it looks like a pretty hefty tome. Do you think you covered pretty much a wide range of his art?
Yes, it is a hefty tome. Mind you, I think, you know, his sort of work and life justify a hefty tome. it's a big book. It's 252 pages, and it's colour throughout. Hardback, cloth covered. It looks very material, very much like his work in a way. It's probably, you know, one of those books that you put on the coffee table and dip into again and again, rather than trying to fit it on a shelf. But there's so much to cover, as you say. You know, basically, I've had really nice other voices come in. Daniel Thomas, the sort of father of all curators in Australia, did an introduction. René Bloch, who's kind of father of European contemporary art, really, since 1963. He's written a piece, just a sort of anecdotal piece, about working with him in Germany and so on. And then I've got Felicity Fenner writing about the paintings, Anna Johnson writing about the drawings, and Jill Sykes writing about the recent dance performances, working with dancers and so on. Mm. And I've done maybe 10 or 12 chapters on everything from the early maquettes, little tiny sculptures, the early performance works in 75, the land art in the 70s, all the stone works, all the glass works, all the piano works. Piano is a really important theme in his work, incidentally.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of works based around piano. Usually a piano that's been suffocated, it's not going to play, basically.
Mm.
But there's a reason for that, and we haven't got time, I don't think, to go into that, but you can see it in the book.
Yes.
I did quite a long interview with him going back to when he was 9 years old, which, interestingly enough, set up a lot of narratives that carry through his work to today. And Bill Wright, about 8 years ago, maybe, interviewed him, and it was never published. Bill died about 5 years ago, but it was never published, and his widow allowed me to use that as well. So there are two different long interviews covering his life, and then we go into those chapters I talked about. So, you know, it gives you a pretty good idea of who he is, and I've tried to make it very much the language that will work for the average reader. You know, it's not an academic tome, but I think it's got the depth of information it needed.
Yeah, sounds amazing. It sounds like there's a lot of really interesting information about the artist that no one might know. So that really makes it your book such a point of difference that no one would have ever seen this stuff before.
Yeah, it is amazing how many people just... I mean, a lot of people have seen his work in biennales and Australian Perspective and things like that, and that's usually been kinetic installations, things, you know, quite big, major pieces. Incidentally, there's about 10 major installation pieces down at the National Gallery of Victoria at the moment on each of the three floors of the Federation Square in Potter Gallery. But it's in these sort of big circulation areas on each three floors because the, you know, the big installations, they need a lot of space around them and so on. Anyway, I mean, that's come up really well. That's only just opened.
So yeah, September 14th, called Truly Madly. I saw that just opened
there. Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic. What sort of issues significant within contemporary Australia context do you think Ken's art evokes?
Well, he is a bit of a one-off. I mean, all the things that he's done, other people have done things in the same medium or the same kind of thing. But, I mean, I think his consistency... I tell you what, I mean, all the time, whether it's the small maquettes back in 72 through to the dance collaborations he's doing now and all the things in between, all of them seem to deal with the idea of balance, propping, including propping his own body in the 75 performances, and propping equilibrium, and always the sense that the whole thing might collapse at any minute. They are actually pretty stable, but actually getting them up there isn't always that safe. But, you know, it's, and that idea of that balance and the risk and the possibility of, you know, movement at any moment is directly played out in the dance performances today, as you can possibly imagine, you know.
Yeah.
So there is a consistency right throughout, but there's not a sort of, you know, he hasn't hit a style and stuck with it or anything like that, which a lot of artists unfortunately do. I mean, because after 20 years of doing the same thing, people get pretty boring. But Ken's definitely not getting boring.
Well, that's how you keep it interesting, right? You keep changing it up, trying new things, and obviously he's never been afraid to try something new and experiment and look where it's got him over these years.
Yeah, no, he's probably actually, to be honest, better known in Europe than he is in Australia in a way. Can't think why. He's been in four biennales and two perspectives. And he's had, you know, work in all the major museum collections in Australia. But you know, I suppose we're terribly good at wanting to be excited by the latest new gadget, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, often like the funding agents think, oh, God, he's 80-something, you can't possibly be bothered with that, you know? but actually, he's more innovative and energetic and takes more risks than most very much younger artists, I have to say.
Did you give him a sort of a pre-copy of the book and did he enjoy going through it?
Sorry?
Did he enjoy reading it beforehand? I'm sure you gave him a copy.
Oh, no. Well, he was in on the act all the way through.
Ah, right.
Because I needed to to do the interviews. I needed to get all the old documentation of old photographs and things.
So he knew it was going to be in there. Yeah.
So he was on the case all the way through.
Nice.
And, yes, he's got quite a few copies of the book.
Fantastic. Well, the book is called, very simply, Ken Unsworth, by author Anthony Bond, who I've just been chatting to here on 2SER. Really appreciate the chat. It all sounds like an amazing book, and I'm going to go looking out for it and have a look and see if I can I'll find that textured cover, because it looks really amazing.
Yeah, no, there's most of the, we always say, isn't it, all the good bookshops.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you can imagine the ones you'd have to look in, you know, the ones that tend to do art books.
Sure.
There's plenty of those in Sydney.
I reckon.
And the Art Gallery Bookshop.
Oh, of course.
Definitely
has.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Well, I'll look out for it. And thank you very much for your time on 2SER today.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.